Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi First Quarter 2019 Consolidated Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group First Quarter 2019 Results Conference Call. With me, Mr. Marco Cenci, Chief Strategy and Control Officer, Mr. Stefano Biella, CFO, Mr. Fabrizio Micheli, Director of M&A and Investor Relations, and Mr. Samuele Chiodetto, Investor Relator. Before introducing the first quarter's results, let me remind you that starting January 1st, our consolidated accounts are incorporating the adoption of the new IFRS 16 accounting standard, which is affecting both income statement and balance sheet. Therefore, in order to provide you with the group's figures and performance in a more understandable and easily comparable framework, we present also normalized values side by side with the official ones, as to exclude the effects of the IFRS 16 adoption when comparing 2019 with 2018. Now, as usual, we begin with a few brief comments before opening the floor to a Q&A session. The first quarter of 2019 has delivered weak results in terms of both revenues and margins due to a combination of different headwinds. In effect, the possibility of a soft start of the year was already anticipated during our previous conference call, as some elements of discontinuity were already known and expected. More specifically, a tough comparison versus last year for the Nespresso machines. In particular, the capsule products were affected by the termination of the distribution of the OEM machines to the Nespresso boutiques in a few European countries, as well as the strong performance of the new Lattissima One in the first months from its launch. A second element of tough comparison for what concerns the comfort category, due to a very favorable 2018 winter season, pushing the sales of heaters, together with an early sales flow of portable air conditioners in the fourth quarter of 2018, in anticipation of tariff hikes on goods imported from China to the U.S. Persistent difficulties of the global cooking and food preparation market in all product families, which also dampened our efforts to support improve the performance of the Kenwood kitchen machines category, particularly in food preparation. The sell-out of retailers in the Christmas season was delayed due to the weak demand, preventing the restocking from De'Longhi in the first part of the year. Finally, the cue of a more aggressive commercial policy strategy adopted in the second part of 2018 in response to increasingly competitive markets and with the aim to preserve our leadership positions and to ensure maximum reach to our key business segments. On the other hand, the group has confirmed its growth capacity in the fully automatic coffee machine category, as well as in the manual pump coffee maker, which grew at a healthy double-digit rate. We expect this positive trend to continue in the following quarters, thanks also to the support offered by recent launches of new models in these segments, like La Maestosa and La Specialista. Excluding the weather-related products and the discontinuity to the Nespresso machines, the overall revenue growth would have been just slightly negative. Looking at the markets at an organic level, Southwestern Europe has experienced a slowdown in many key countries in the area, with the exception of France, mostly related to the aforementioned discontinuities in the Nespresso machine segment and to a weak demand in the food preparation sector. On the other side, the positive growth trend continued in the area of Northeastern Europe, with an organic mid-single-digit increase, supported by a good performance in Poland and Russia, Ukraine, and the CIS countries, particularly partially offset by the persistent weakness in the UK. The APA region, Asia, Pacific, Americas, showed all the main markets, United States and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, China and Japan, in negative territory, mainly due to the tough comparison in the categories of comfort, coffee capsule machines, and the difficulties in food preparations. Lastly, MEA region, Middle East, India and Africa, was weak too, with revenues down in all the main markets of the area. As regards margins, the erosion of the net industrial margin was from 48.3% the erosion of the net industrial margin to 48.3% from 49.2%, but excluding the negative impact of currency, the net industrial margin would have been at 49.5% versus 49.2% last year. The first quarter, the normalized adjusted EBITDA stood at 31.8 million euro, down from 13.3% to 8.4% of revenues. The gap versus last year was mainly due to the currencies, minus 3.9 million euros, lower volumes, minus 9.2 million euros, negative price effect, minus 6.6 million euros, and increases in COGS and other operating costs, minus 5.4 million, meant to support our penetration and position in the market and ensure the medium-term growth targets. On the other hand, mix effect was positive, plus 3.5 million, particularly counterbalancing the mentioned headwinds. Normalized operating income, EBIT, amounted to 16.4 million euros, down from 39.3 million, equal to 4.3% of revenues. Finally, the normalized net profit accounted to 11.7 million euros. Moving on to the balance sheet figures, the net financial position as at March 31st was positive by 144 million euros, comprising a 77.9 million euro negative impact of IFRS 16 standard. Net of the aforementioned impact, the net financial position was 221.8 million euro, slightly below the net financial position of 228.1 million at the end of 2018. The variation of the net financial position in the first 3 months was mainly the result of a positive cash generation from operations, counterbalancing the negative flow from net working capital and the investment for a total of 12.7 million. As a final comment and looking ahead at the remaining part of 2019, the headwinds of comfort appliances should be offset by the return to growth in the second half, and the food preparation should stabilize, with coffee makers accounting for almost half of the total annual turnover, maintaining the current path of growth. Therefore, we're still confident about an accelerating second part of the year, with a recovery in margins over the last two quarters. However, despite a more challenging market environment, we confirm our investment in A&P to support the growth, which might delay the results. We are revising the guidance, now expecting organic revenues growth at a rate between 2% and 4%, and an adjusted EBITDA slightly below last year in absolute value and in normalized terms. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open the floor to a Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question comes from Niccolò Storer of Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three, if I may. The first one, if you can help us in understanding the reasons behind your cut in EBITDA guidance. In particular, we all know that EBITDA in the end is the result of many moving parts, so pricing mix, Forex volumes, A&P expenditure. So, which of these items you moved to get to the current new guidance? Second question is on the performance of the kitchen and food preparation items. If you could quantify a little bit which decline they had. And last one is on in the press release you speak about aggressive commercial strategy. If you can make us a few example on how on what you intend for such aggressive commercial strategies. Thank you.
Well, the cut in EBITDA, I think, is probably a conservative approach following our first quarter results. We knew about the soft starts of heating and air conditioning. We also were expecting lower sales for Nespresso coffee machines. But probably, even if we were not really counting on a strong performance of food preparation and cooking products, the results have been probably a bit below our expectations. This is probably due, as I anticipated, also to overstocking of food preparation and cooking at the end of 2018. However, the weakness of the first quarter is suggested that we should take a more conservative stood on food preparation. Hence, we are now revising slightly below the year-end expectations in terms of EBITDA due to a possible slowdown of food preparation, which might immediately stabilize, but may as well a bit continue. So we still feel strong about our growth potential in the long run, particularly on coffee, and we believe that on seasonal products, we know very well that these downturns can be completely offset, but within food preparation, we feel that due also to the weakness of UK and the weakness of Italy, which one are between our most important markets, a more conservative stance is the right approach to give a new guidance. I also to underline that we could probably even potentially totally offset the EBITDA impact if we were to maybe cut some advertising spends. However, we believe in the long-term potential growth of the company, and we believe that the right approach is to continue investing in A&P to fully exploit our long-term potential in coffee, and also in food preparation still, and also in the home care products, which were successfully relaunched last year under the Braun brand, and will continue to support in 2019. Having said so, I think that this is the shift of what is our position. And just a last comment, decline in food preparation in the first quarter was around... Well, on the commercial strategy, we consider aggressive commercial strategy a strategy where some investments in A&P are made, which is translating in some momentarily EBITDA decline.
Thank you.
The next question is from Nicholas Langley of Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions, please. The first one, can you quantify what was the impact of the Nespresso discontinuation in Q1, as well as the impact of the comfort segment on your like-for-like in Q1, just to have a view on the underlying like-for-like performance? Second question on the IFRS 16, is it fair to expect roughly the same impact as in Q1 in the coming quarters, meaning circa 20 million euro positive on EBITDA for the full year and minus 1.6 million euro on net income for the full year as well? And finally, regarding your aggressive commercial strategy, so you had a negative impact in Q1. Should we expect further negative impact in the coming quarters, or you have now invested enough? Thank you.
Negative. The negative impact of Nespresso boutiques in the first quarter was approximately 5 million euros. The full year impact of the new IFRS 16 should be around 20 million at EBITDA level, and the net financial position, as already happened in the first quarter, would be impacted by about 70 million euros. With regard to the impacts of the aggressive commercial strategy in quarter two, we expect probably to continue, while we think in the second half we won't have a material impact on our performance.
Okay, perfect. And if I can add one quick question, on the food preparation, you said you expect some stabilization in the coming quarters. What gives you confidence that you will see this stabilization? Is it more market-related, or you have your own self-help initiative that will help improving the trend?
For sure, we are now, if needed, an extra focus on food preparation. I believe that the teams were already very focused on food preparation before. I think that as the destocking effect will fade away, underlying growth trends or stable performance will be shown. And therefore, we think that in the next quarters, we progressively see stabilization.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacaccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Some questions also from my side. Firstly, what has changed in just 2 months since your latest conference call in March, making you revise the outlook and the guidance so materially? You partially already answered to that question, but if you can elaborate a little bit more on that, it would be again on the underlying like-for-like trend. You mentioned the 5 million euros impact related to the Nespresso in sourcing distribution agreement. And what is the organic top-line growth for the quarter, if also taking into account all the other, let's say, temporary discontinuity, so the phasing effect in Q4, the tough comps on Lattissima, and what makes you confident of reversing the negative trend in the coming quarter? And the other question is on the networking capital drain, which further worsened in this quarter. So what should we expect for the remainder of the year, And just as a final question is on just double checking if I understood correctly, you said that the commercial strategy will end the negative effect in the second half. So it means that we may have some, you may experience some tail ends also in the second quarter. Is that correct?
Okay, so we have many questions. Okay, the change of guidance. The change of guidance is due to a poor performance, a very poor performance in the month of March. January and February were probably in line with our expectation, while we saw in March a much worse performance.
Recovery and distribution Nespresso.
The second question was about the Nespresso distribution, and the impact, I said, has been about -5 million euro in the first quarter. Now we can have some impact still in April, and then we should have then a clean comparison year-on-year from, let's say, May on. Excluding the discontinuities of weather-related products and the Nespresso boutiques, our organic growth would have been around, let's say, -1, -2%.
Okay.
In terms of what is driving our confidence on food preparation, we believe that the destocking effect, we have assessed that there was an overstocking in many markets in January, February, and March. Although the market is not buoyant, and particularly in Italy and in England, we believe that progressively we will see an improvement in food preparation. We also have some new initiatives, commercial initiatives under the Braun and the Kenwood brand, which probably, hopefully, support our performance in the second half. Fourth question about net working capital. This is reflecting the poor performance of certain comfort categories and is reflecting also a poor performance in food preparation. On top of that, we were building inventories for coffee makers, which are needed in the second half of the year, but we believe that we will progressively normalize. Our goal is to normalize the stock levels by October, let's say, quarter three, quarter four. Unfortunately, we cannot have a short-term solution to this overstocking situation, but we have actions in place to normalize them at least by year end. In terms of
commercial strategy improvement from the Q3.
Commercial strategy, we think that sales will improve for, as said, because of the normalization of food preparation. Will improve also because in the final part of the year, also the coffee machine weight on total sales will be higher, and the growth potential of Espresso will help the company once there's also the seasonal negative effects and the boutique impact will be finished. We will be able to show again our potential underlying growth. We also have more commercial initiatives, which will support our newly introduced products, In particular, I would like to highlight the new launch with Nespresso. We have a new Latissima, which will be launched in the second half. Also, we will see progressively the full impact of the launch of Maestosa and La Specialista, which will be also introduced in England and in Germany and then in the United States. Plus, we will introduce the new brown multi-serve product for the North American market. With regards to Kenwood, we have Cookeasy, a new food processor with also cooking capabilities, and a new food stand mixer, Chef XL Sense, under the Kenwood brand. On top of that, I would like to highlight the good start of the new brown ironing system. In particular, was launched the CareStyle 3 at the end of last year, which will be supported during the year, and as well the new launch of CareStyle number 5, which will be launched in second half. To give you a flair, the performance of ironing has been and floor care has been organic growth of double digit at least in the first quarter.
Thank you, very clear.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one, if you can, repeat to me the drivers in terms of price, volumes, mix that you had in the first quarter in terms of EBITDA. My second question is about your expectation in terms of organic top-line growth for the second quarter. If I am not wrong, second quarter last year was still very very strong, close to double digit. Then my third question is about, of course, the industry environment. I would like to better understand what kind of dynamics you are observing in the market and what has changed actually from the third quarter of this year to last part and the start of this year. And finally, if you could quantify the organic growth of super automatic coffee machines plus pumps in this first quarter. Thank you.
Okay, so the first question is EBITDA bridge, and the gap versus last year was minus 3.9 million euros due to currencies, minus 9.2 million euros due to lower volumes, minus 6.6 million euros due to negative price effect, and increased cost of goods sold and other operating costs for minus 5.4 million euros. While, on the other hand, we had a positive mix for 3.5 million euros. Indeed, we expect organic growth for quarter two. However, we don't like to give guidance for single quarters. What we think is that I want to underline that we aim now for organic revenue growth for the full year between 2% and 4%, and we believe that the recovery will be progressive. Although we had a very good April, I don't like also to disclose April numbers, but April was good, which is giving us confidence. And but the goal for the group is to have between 2% and 4% organic growth by the year end. In terms of industry environment, the industry environment is changing. It's changing because some economies are weaker than expected, or weaker than 1 year ago. I underlined that Italy and UK continue to be weak, which are two of our core markets. Also, Germany, the economy is less buoyant than before. In terms of product lines, we see food preparation has been a bit tougher, with many negative markets showing negative growth, which happened on top of the destocking process, which is showing a very strong negative impact on our first quarter. But we think this will stabilize and fade away progressively in the next months and quarters. In terms of our fully auto and pump machines, I would like to highlight the performance of pump, which is very strong, double digit, while super automatic was growing, but had a very tough comparison with last year. We think that we will continue to grow, and we have ambition to grow at double digit also in the full year 2019.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question comes from Andrea Bonfa of Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. I hope you can hear me. I got especially one question. It seems to me that also the Q2, considering that although you might have some organic growth, but in light of your aggressive commercial policy, it might be also a negative quarter for the in terms of EBITDA. But I was quite impressed looking at the first quarter performance that you still expect a mild decline in EBITDA for the second quarter, which means that you are expecting a strong recovery in H2 EBITDA. And I was wondering how much in this expectation do price increases count, if any. And then I have, let's say, a more generic question, in the sense that if you allow me to make things simple, substantially half of your business is substantially ex-growth. I'm referring to the food preparation, and this has been going on very likely for now 2-3 years. So I'm wondering if what is your vision, actually, if this sector can return sooner or later to growth, because, I mean, let's say expectation we had and the expectation maybe you were passing over to us is that the previous 2 years were temporary and now the recovery should be in sight. But actually, the first quarter was very, very tough. Thank you very much.
Well, yes, we think that, again, you're right, we didn't comment on the EBITDA that we can deliver on quarter two. We think that it could be that a quarter two EBITDA might be below last year. But again, we don't have a EBITDA target for quarter two. We don't have EBITDA targets for quarters in general. We definitely expect a strong performance in half two on the back of, let's say, the full impact of our commercial initiatives, particularly related to coffee, and the pickup, as said, in comfort and food preparation. The four hints we have, the an expectation for EBITDA improvement in the second half. Also, because on top of the positive volume effect we aim to in the second half, and the positive mix that will continue in the second half. We have already positive mix in the first quarter. We will start to deliver positive price effect on the back of the end of certain commercial initiative, aggressive commercial initiatives, and also the delivery of certain selective price increases in certain markets where we believe we had a too strong aggressive commercial policy, or markets where there were some negative currency impacts that we mean to offset in the near future. In terms of food preparation, it's indeed it's a tougher market. I think on one side, our 50% of sales related to coffee can rely on a strong underlying growth market, while our food preparation now is related to certain product categories that are a bit suffering because of weakness in UK and Italy, which we continue to rely. Also, Middle East, not brilliant in many geographies, and also this distorting effect. So I believe personally in the long-term potential of this category. I believe that for the moment also I have to put in place some initiatives within the company because the market performance is still weak and below our original expectations.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon. I have a few questions. First one, you talked a lot about the aggressive commercial policy. How much do you think the advertising will increase? And is commercial policy much more about the increasing marketing spend, or is it also about the promotions? My thinking was that you try to reduce the promotional activities and try to focus more on pricing. So how was it in Q1, and how do you expect this to be in the coming quarters or this year? Then another question on the food preparation. It seems like the trading was very difficult for the food preparation for a few years now. So do you see that something structurally changing and you need to maybe to rethink in which segments you want to be positioned? Is there something with the products, with the more competition, etc.? So what has changed and why it is very difficult for De'Longhi to find attraction with consumers? And on the Braun, was also Braun declining in Q1, or how is the situation with the Braun brand? Thank you.
The commercial policy, we had to we had still some aggressive commercial policy in quarter one, which continued on the back of last year promotional activities. Now the market has been very promotional. Now we want to focus more on the profitability in the remainder of the year. And as I said, we believe that the promotional investments and also the price effect will turn from negative price into positive price in at least in the second half of the year. In terms of food preparation, I said we were okay. Was already asking other questions. What I can say, I believe in the category. It is true that we now is for the fourth year in which the category is not buoyant, and the group has. In the last months, accelerated its investment in the ironing and the home care products, where we have started delivering some positive results. But we think that the food preparation, so you might expect continued growth for De'Longhi as a group and particularly for Braun as a brand in home care products. And for food preparation, we believe that should stabilize and hopefully go back to growth in the near future. Although food preparation has been a bit weak also for Braun in the first half, where we had a negative performance of Braun in cooking and food preparation, but which was fully offset by home care, which grew at a double digit for Braun.
Okay, understood. And maybe one more question, because obviously lots of rumors about the possible acquisition that De'Longhi can do and that you are the only one in the last rounds. If you can provide anything here, any comment. Thank you.
Well, we don't comment on M&A. The only comment we didn't comment in the past call, we never comment on M&A opportunities. What I can say is the company is active in looking into acquisitions and opportunities.
Okay, and maybe one more question, if possible, from my side. on the organic growth decline across different regions, how much, where did you see the highest level of destocking and where the underlying consumption was weak?
I believe that the destocking should be completed by the end of March. And so I expect now that we should have a more comparable trading base.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. A couple of questions from my side. The first one is on the trends in the industrial margin. I would like to know the underlying assumption behind your guidance on EBITDA full year, which kind of gross margin erosion assumes. Should we expect something in the region of the erosion observed in the first quarter, so in the region of 90-100 bps? And the second question is more kind of strategic one. So as trends in food preparation continue to be subdued, while you feel very, very confident on the coffee machines performance, is it fair to see as a high priority of the management to increase strategically the exposure of De'Longhi as a group to the coffee business, and to this extent I would see potential activity on in terms of external growth as the most rapid way to rebalance your exposure.
Okay, so the net industrial margin guidance, we think that we have a negative impact of on certain costs, which will be progressively offset by the price increases. So we think that the net gross industrial margin will be in line with last year, at least in the second half of 2019. In terms of M&A and in terms of say categories in the different growth in the different categories, I think that naturally the group product mix has dramatically changed because of the stronger growth of coffee. If we look back 10 years, we have basically grown from approximately 200 million euro in sales in coffee to about a billion now. Now representing approximately 50% of total sales. I think that the growth potential of coffee is far higher than any other product we are competing in. So naturally, I think this the group exposure to coffee will allow the group to have a long-term growth potential higher than most of our competitors. And I expect the ratio of coffee on total sales to continue climbing. However, we believe that in the future, we should capitalize better on the full range of products. I think that probably the group has been relying a bit too much on coffee and food preparation in the past years. We now will accelerate also in home care, and potentially we should offset the momentary weakness, at least, of food preparation with growth not just in coffee but also in home care products. In terms of acquisition, it could make sense to make acquisitions either in coffee, which is growing above average, but probably also to make acquisition in other segments where the group can maybe dilute its exposure and so the risk a bit from coffee, although it's performing very well and we are strong about the potential growth, the growth potential of the category, but also maybe compensate the temporary weakness we have on food preparation.
Yeah, thanks.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, just a very quick follow-up on your last point on the M&A side. Just to, I know that you don't comment, but do you see more opportunities in the coffee part in the short term or in other maybe divisions, other product categories? Thank you.
Well, I don't want to comment on that. I said we might do an acquisition in coffee, as we might do an acquisition on other product lines. We might be doing an acquisition in Europe, as we might do an acquisition in North America. I don't want to comment on what and where. I just underline that we have a strong cash position. We have a strong firepower thanks to our cash on hand, but also EBITDA, and we are actively looking into acquisitions.
Okay, many thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead, madam.
yes, hello again. One more question also on the regional development. Do you see that in which countries do you see the longer has maybe underperformed the market or where you have more difficulties and where in which regions are you happy with the development? And do you see that you can maybe share some best practices or some tools to improve development in the markets where you think you don't perform in line with your expectations?
Sorry, the line was a bit disturbed. Can you repeat the second question?
Yes, so I'm trying to understand about the current trading and disappointment a bit with the food preparation, etc. So my question was, do you think that in certain regions you're quite happy with the development of De'Longhi, while certain regions are not doing as good? So I understand that in certain regions the macro is not as good, but maybe your management is doing much better job than in certain other regions. And in that case, do you think that there are some best practices sharing or something that you can improve? How much is there self-help potential, even if the markets are not that great? Is that clear or not?
Well,
No.
No, what we can say is that in terms of potential for us, we think that for sure Eastern Europe is the market with a higher potential. and where we are, our current trading is better. Our current trading in the United States and Asia has been poor, but for weather-related products. So I think that really in the end, there is a good underlying potential in at least coffee, as well as maybe in food preparation in Asia. While maybe Europe, although coffee has still growth potential, maybe food preparation is a bit weak, and that would be more difficult to revert. As I said, England is tough. Italy is very difficult. We are very strong in food preparation to Italy. France is not is not good as well. So, in terms of potential, I would say definitely Eastern Europe, then Asia Pacific, because also the underlying performance is excluding the seasonal products is not bad as of now. And while we are more concerned about Italy and UK and all in all in food preparation, in terms of sharing best practices, yes, we always do that. I would like to also underline that we have since a year and a half new leadership in our commercial new commercial leadership for the group. And also a new commercial leadership for marketing. And so they have many initiatives in order to improve the performance of, let's say, the least performing markets. But I feel strong about what we are doing. I think the company in the end has quite well performed over the years. We are now facing a tough quarter. But looking very much into details, I think that our true underlying growth trend for the first quarter is minus 1.5%, more or less, between 1 and 2% decline, because really the seasonal products is a temporary thing, which are affected by tariffs and affected by weak weather conditions. The boutique deliveries were already announced and is a kind of a change of perimeter for us. And we think that, consider also the destocking activity happening in certain markets and at certain retailers, we feel that we can go back to growth in the second half and still deliver growth that is now between 2 and 4% according to the new guidance.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. De Lunghi, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the De Lunghi first quarter 2019 conference call.